in the name of Jesus. I submit myself to this body for your glory, Lord. In the name of Jesus, be glorified, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all sit down and get your book, please. Hallelujah. My, there's a bunch of people in here, isn't there? Well, my wife didn't get to come. I've been dragging her all over the United States, and she's ready. She's praying for this service right now. Her and all of my tribe is. Turn to Hebrews. I'm excited about Jesus. What about you? I'm telling you, I'm excited about Jesus. I'm one of them jump shot kind of guys. Like to run on twos and cross pop people's heads. And it's fun to love Jesus. I'm serious, there ain't no reason to be bashful about God. Because you know the Word of God says in Hebrews that He's not ashamed of us. Did you know the Word of God says that? So why should I be ashamed of God? It does not bother me at all to bow my knees. Look at this. To lift my hands to God in front of a congregation and say, thank you, Jesus, I love you. Oh, that's good. Isn't that a blessing? You know, you can do that in airports. You can do that in McDonald's. You can do that everywhere. Yes, sir. We got a work in South Texas. We call it a border station. It's an office there, and we got a couple of houses that we have built, and the missionaries are paying for it. I personally do not write letters asking for money or nothing like that. I write letters and just tell you how the dead are raised. And if God don't speak, then forget it. Isn't that right? Either there's a God of faith or there isn't. Either He said with a head and not the tail, or He didn't. And I believe He did. In the name of Jesus. We got a home there for battered women in South Texas. You know any women that need help? Come through Brother Ted. He'll notify us and we'll take them. I'm serious about it. I just picked one up off Bourbon Street the other day. That's a professional stripper and hooker. Got a little four-year-old girl and she's pregnant. But I'll tell you, it don't make any difference to how bad they are. Just, I want to help them. Because I've got Jesus in my heart. And my Jesus can help them. I don't believe the power of the streets is more powerful than the Lord Jesus. Right across the border from my office, we got a work in Matamoros, Texas. I think Scott's been here, maybe testify to something about it. We got a good work. It's not very large right now, but it's real young. But it's going. We got about three or four churches there that are in that large city, and we do street work there. We got a work that's about 500 miles further south of Matamoros. It's got about 135 churches in it. That I worked there all of my life, it seems like, but for the last 9 years. And in that work, we have 128 or so, 130 pastors, national leaders that have raised up that are working these churches. I have 10 national leaders that I have handpicked myself and put over all of these churches as elders. I have one man that's over the 10. That runs the entire, it's completely indigenous, if you know what that word means. It's completely ran by the national workers. I just go in and out as an advisor now. In that work, there have been 60 plus people raised from the dead. I was talking about that were any kind of disease. There's been people fall in the ditches and burst their heads open, brains fall out. And God has put it back together, and God has raised them from the dead. We've got a new work in South Mexico in the state of Chiapas. It's a tribe of Indians we have located down there that does not have any gospel. And a missionary that has been working with me for several years. He's moved his family in down there. And we got one church there and another one almost, probably started by now, because I haven't talked to him in about two or three weeks. And then across the border into Guatemala, y'all are more familiar with that work than anything we're doing. Some of you went down there. The work, since you have seen it, has doubled. We got 15 churches there now. There's five missionaries in there, and I got a good report. I thought Brother Ted was going to share that, but he didn't. Brother Eddie Edison called me Tuesday to inform me that the same spirit that's in Mexico that's raising the dead has jumped the border. Hallelujah. And it's in Guatemala. A little eight-year-old boy that was dead. God raised him from the dead. And Brother Eddie was so excited he just had to locate me wherever I was at, and he told me about it, and I, of course, started bouncing off the walls like normal. And also we got another work in Bolivia, South America. My wife and I just came back from there in June, spent the whole month down there. I had the privilege to hike 200 miles. Hallelujah. Lost 12 pounds. Thank you, Jesus. And had an opportunity to go across one of the highest passes in the world. It was 16,000 feet. Hiked through there. We started three churches and got 35 people born again. I'm talking about a God that cannot lie. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18. I don't know where you are in God, but I know where God is. I know where I am in God, and I'm in a position to believe whatever the Bible says, and it makes me no difference what you say or think. Okay? Now, I just want to inform you that I'm very forward and blunt about the way I believe things, because it gets the dead raised. It gets blinded eyes open. It gets lame people up. It gets lepers cleansed, and it's gotten so far about between 50 and 60,000 people born into the kingdom of God. Just being aggressive for God. Just going ahead and attacking the devil and not being afraid of him. Just being my goodness, we're going now. being like Jonathan and his armor bearer, just attack the Philistines. Everybody else is under shade in the pomegranate tree. That's all right. Y'all keep hanging out there. I'm going to keep attacking the escarpments where all the devils are. You know why? Because God cannot lie. You look right here. I'm not going to... What I've got to say is so simple, you're going to be amazed that God would allow a guy like me to raise the dead. But you see, the thing is, it's not theology that gets people up out of this dead. It's not charisma. It's not a personality. It's the blood of Jesus. It's the word of God. It's the power of the cross. It's the power of the resurrection that gets people raised from the dead, saints. So quit looking to charisma and quit looking to people and look to Jesus and the blood that he shed and the resurrection power that he brought on earth. Hallelujah. Right here in verse 18. Hebrews 6, 18, that by two immutable things, we're going to talk about one of them here. It says, in which it was impossible for God to lie. Do you realize that if God ever lied, this world would have to disintegrate? So then, I'm going to just inform you tonight that AIDS is not king of this earth. So you don't have to fear it. Leukemia, tumors, cataracts, braces. People fear those things. Body braces, these kind of fear. Did you know that communism is not king of this earth? That Jesus is. And it's impossible for God to lie. Now, I want you to know that tonight you're going to get your... I'm two people actually up here. I am an ordained Southern Baptist pastor.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. And also, I'm an ordained full gospel pastor. So, take your pick. Just take your pick.
I'll take them both.
Amen. Me too. You'd be amazed what kind of doors it'll open for you. I've got a wife that's the most beautiful woman in the world. She is pretty close to Proverbs 31 as you're going to get. She's a good woman. She's stuck with me. She's got to be good. I said a lot for her, I'm telling you. Isn't that right, Brother Ted? Hallelujah. I've got three children that are mine. Two of them by natural birth and I got a 14-year-old boy that's about this tall. I've got a 10-year-old girl and then a 3-year-old girl that we adopted when she was 7 months old that was going to be aborted, but there was this pastor friend of mine that had nerve enough to stand out in front of one of them abortion death chambers and tell the mother that she ought not to kill that baby, she ought to give it to him because his church would pay for it. And she said, okay. So after the baby was born, she still didn't want it, so the pastor called me up and said, did I want it? And I said, sure. So we got us a wonderful little baby by the name of Joy. Isn't that a blessing? Also, I've been given a 16-year-old boy. Had him for a little over a year and a half. I picked up a 16-year-old girl. Had her for about 3 months. So what I'm trying to say here is, you got any teenagers you don't want, I'll take them. Listen, you know what? Streets are filled with runaways. Somebody's got to do it. Streets are filled with prostitutes. All they want is somebody to tell them Jesus loves them. All they want is for you to come out of your goosebump parties and go to work for Jesus and get people saved and get them filled with spirit. Now let's go over here, back up two chapters here, to Hebrews chapter 4. Let's look at one verse again, then we're going to go to something else after a while. It's all right with you, what is it? Everybody scatter shoot y'all, isn't it? It's all right, isn't it? Because I'm telling you, the Spirit of God is here and the anointing of Jesus is here. Because He loves us. And He cannot lie. When you leave here, you're going to believe that. You probably already do, but you're going to believe it more. Here in Hebrews 4:12 it says, the Word of God is quick. The Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Do you realize that it's not necessary for you to use your own intellect, your own thinking in any matter, but it is necessary for you to use the Word of God in every matter. People say to me, where do you get the knowledge to take in street people? Where do you get the knowledge to take in teenagers and them lose 50 pounds when they're overweight at 16 and become handsome people and love Jesus and get filled with the Holy Ghost and interested in going to missions? Where do you get the knowledge to do that? Where do you get the knowledge to go to these foreign countries and just walk in and start churches and raise the dead? Where does that come from? There's only one place. The Word of God. Nobody can teach you the things I do. You have to learn them from Jesus. And I want you to know it's impossible for God to lie. And if God says to go forth, He means go forth. And He's going to take care of you. You're not going to get in any binds that He can't get you out of. Right here it says, for the Word of God is quick and is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I just went through a tremendous war. Any of y'all ever been through any wars? My, the devil hates us, don't he? Isn't it a blessing that he hates us now? Because I used to be in his team, on his court, and I was always getting beat. But not anymore. I didn't go to school and get me a degree in counseling or psychology. But I had a missionary that committed sin, and I didn't know how to handle it. So I went to the Word of God, and I want you to know that the Word of God is a discerner. Did you know that while I'm sitting here preaching the Word of God to you, that the Word of God begins to discern your heart? It begins to discern the thoughts that are in your mind. And it comes back to me, and that helps me to preach better and know what to say, because when I can crawl inside of your mind and your spirit, I'm getting there. I'm getting down there where the plastic is gone. Where we are in the morning, women with the colors in our hair. Nobody's ever seen us like that before. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I went over to this man's house, and I was nervous. I was intimidated by not having enough knowledge, by not going to school and getting a counselor's degree. And I went over there, and for 4 hours, I just quoted the Word of God. I thought that would probably do the trick. And after 4.5 hours, the man broke and wept and repented and has been delivered by the power of Jesus. I'm talking about a God that cannot lie. I'm talking about the Word of God. It's powerful. It's not dull, and it's not traditional, and it's not religious. It's quick, and it's powerful, and it's sharper than anything you've ever seen. I was in a village one night called Otlatzitla, and my partner and I had gone out there, and we'd had revival. I'm talking there was about 500 people been born again. And I was amazed at what God was doing out in those hills. And we went that night, I had prayed 3 or 4 hours that morning, because I do every day. And I had prayed, and I went out to the village, and when I got there, nobody showed up for church. I mean, can you imagine coming here, and nobody shows up but you and 2 or 3 people? So I'm sitting here trying to, throw off my hurt feelings. Why isn't anybody at church? And all of a sudden, one of the three men that came told me, said, well, here they come. I said, who? He said, the people that are going to kill you. I said, what'd you say? And I walked over to my partner. I said, did you hear what he said? He said, yeah, I heard that. And before we could react, they had swarmed. It was about 600 or 700 of them. And I want you to know that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword or machete. Now, I'm giving you a literal example of where the word of God is more powerful. It's sharper than a sword of steel. Because we were surrounded. I was standing here. My partner was at my back. And in the old days, you just started fighting until you made a hole through there and got away. But this is the new days, where you're a new creature and you let Jesus do the warring for you. Because the arm of the flesh will fail you every time. And so I begin to just tell those people that I rebuke you by the blood of Jesus, devil. You spirit of murder, you're not getting my neck in Jesus' name. And saints, listen to me. As we begin to preach the word of God, I would quote something out this side. He would quote something out this side. I would quote something. Back and forth we went for about 20 minutes. And just all of a sudden, right out of the blue, they started arguing about how they're going to kill us. And the argument got so strong that they left. And guess what else? That's not all. That's just part of it. Several men hung around, and I thought, oh God, maybe these are the real ones here. And I said, what do y'all need? We need your Jesus. 12 men that had come to kill us because we had the guts and the faith to stand up for God in the face of adversity and tell them, the Lord Jesus rebuke you. And we believe that the word of God is more powerful than your sword. They said, what must we do to be... And 12 of them got born again. That's a good God. I'm telling you that the Lord Jesus is king and swords aren't. Now go over here to John chapter 8. I want to just share this, throw this, then we're going to throw this in there, and then we're going to Matthew chapter 10. So it's just simple things. You already know most of these verses. They're in you. But they've got to come out of you and help people. It's impossible for God to lie. Did you know I was up in Columbus, Ohio, and I was preaching, just shouting. I like to shout. I like to worship God. Because you see, I used to be one of them street fighter types with a gang and all that, and I really shouted for the devil. And the amazing thing about all of the hate that was in my heart for any color of person that was not my color, it didn't matter what nation they were from, the hate, the greed, the selfishness, I had to rob and steal, I had to do things that weren't right. I was pushed by an enemy that I thought was leading me fine. And when a man, Brother Larry Stockton, where Brother Ted comes from and all that, that man laid his hands on my head and said, God fill him with the Holy Ghost. I never did in my life since I was born that I can remember understand what real freedom was. Always been bound. I grew up in a Southern Baptist home. My dad is a pastor. But I've always been bound all of my life from fear of all kinds of different things. But the day that Jesus touched me, I was set free. You know why? Because it's impossible for God to lie. And you know, when I went up there to Columbus, Ohio, and I was preaching like this, and I was talking about the freedom of Jesus, look, in John 8, and one little verse there, verse 36, it says, if the Son, talking about Jesus, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I am free indeed. And I come to here tonight to tell you that I know people that love Jesus and speak in tongues. And I'm talking about they are in bondage. I want you to be free like I'm free. It doesn't embarrass me to stand up here and make mistakes in English. It doesn't embarrass me. It embarrasses me when I get up here and promise you something that I can't fulfill in Jesus. But this woman comes up to me and she says, Brother Hogan, you're talking about the freedom in the life of God. You're talking about something I've only dreamed about. I said, so? She said, so my son is 7 years retarded. I said, what do you want me to do? She says, do you reckon your God would heal my son? I said, ma'am, my God will heal your son. She said, he was born retarded. I said, it don't make me any difference if he's 1,000 years old. If you want the freedom I've got, you got to submit to Jesus to get it. You got to believe that God cannot lie. You got to believe that his word is powerful and it's quick and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. She said, I believe. I said, no problem. They had my little hands left square upside her head. Mascara went in every direction. In the name of Jesus, the Spirit of God hit that woman. That was Sunday evening. Monday morning, she goes to the therapy center where her son is. The nurse comes rolling him out on one of those lay-down wheelchair things. Comes rolling him out there. I'm talking about 100% disabled here. You want to know about what God did for that little old boy? The mother walks in fully expecting her son to be completely healed. She walks in and he's still in the wheelchair. Well, for the first time in his life, he gets up out of the wheelchair. He walks over there to the swimming pool, because that's the kind of therapy they're doing on those people now. And he walks, get a hold of that rope, and he walks across that swimming pool, walks back across, he walks out of that thing, walks up to Mama, looks up at her and says, Mama, let's go home. It's impossible for God to lie. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. And I stand before you tonight with my chains off of me. I'm a free person. And it doesn't make any difference. You say, how can you take your family in communist-infested territory? Because I'm free. Because I know God's not finished with me. I know there's work to be done. There's souls to be dug out of those hills. And so my wife goes with me. And we lay hands on the sick. And God heals them. Turn over here to Matthew chapter 10. And I want to start something that's going to take a few minutes. Are y'all ready? Do y'all have a few minutes here this evening? Yeah. I forgot to see what time it was when I started. Doesn't matter? Oh, boy. There's a clock back there. Okay. Matthew chapter 10. I'm talking about a God that cannot lie here tonight. Am I getting across to you?
Yeah.
I'm talking about the word of God. It's quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It don't matter what the situation. It matters that you stand your ground and your commitment is ingrained deep in Jesus and you're not going nowhere. That the devil's the one going somewhere. Not us. Not us. Little old black lady over in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Can't say Alabama like they can. I don't know how they throw that tongue around like that. But I went to this black church and I was ministering there and Mola had a good time. We shouted and the pastor told me that there's this 85-year-old black lady in the hospital that's got 5 kinds of cancer in her body. I said, what do you want me to do about that, sir? He said, I want you to go with me and pray for her. I said, do you realize that it's 12:30 at night? He said, I know that, but it doesn't make any difference. Let's go. So I went there. The guard let us in. They was waiting on us. Went in there and this black lady, 85 years old. I'm talking about a grandma. And I'm from that deep south training school where they teach you to respect all elderly people, you understand. And so I walk in there and I said, hello, Grandma, how are you doing? She said, I'm doing fine, son. I went over there to her and I said, what do you need? And she jumped up and wrapped her arms around me and jerked me down on the bed with her. And she said, I want you to bless me because I'm not going to let you go till you do. I said, there's no problem, Grandma. Just let me talk. I'm talking 5 kinds of cancer. They're just waiting on her to die. Do you understand? And she had so much faith in the man of God that God had sent her way and in the God that cannot lie. I blessed her in Jesus' name. I cursed cancer. I said, cancer, hear me. You are not king. Jesus is. And I curse you by the roots and I command you out of this body by the blood of the Lamb in Jesus' name. Then, guess what happened to her? It's 7 o'clock in the morning. It's the doctor come in. And he says, "What? Well, I forgot her name. He's Grandma. Grandma, what are you doing?" She said, "I'm healed." He said, "It can't be." And he went and took her in yonder and couldn't find none of the 5 kinds of cancer that were gone out of her body. He had to release her that morning. Thank you, Jesus. I'm talking about a God that cannot lie. Oh, but Brother David, I've prayed. I don't care what you've done. It's not God lying, buddy. This book cannot lie and it cannot fail. The failure is on the human side. It's not on God's side. It's not on this word of God. It's infallible. And when we submit ourselves to it, it'll work. It'll work. What is your formula? There ain't one. Just submit to Jesus and get after it. And it'll start working for you. I'm telling you the truth. If I wasn't Brother Ted, it'd sit me down. Are you in Matthew yet? Probably about 5 minutes ago. Matthew chapter 10. Look, can y'all tell I'm excited? You know the kind of excitement I have rubs off on people. Look, you know what? Let me just bless you. You want to be blessed? This is funny. When you go into, you know, we're always in a hurry. Have you noticed that? Up here in America, everybody's in a hurry. Down there in south of the border, nobody's in a hurry. I'm serious. And so, I'm always driving my truck, trying to get somewhere so I can preach real quick. And you know, you got to go in these Burger Kings or these McDonald's or these Dairy Queens, one of these places that are fast food, give it to me quick. Right? So you walk in there, and have you ever noticed how it seems like it's always full when you want it the fastest? But you know, I got a remedy for that. Did you know that all you have to do is begin to worship Jesus? Hallelujah! Oh, Rabadasa Talaba, Rasade. And guess what those heathen people will do for you? Because they have so much respect for somebody that loves God, they move right out of the way and let you go to the front of the line. Hallelujah. And it works. But you see, there are so many humanistic devils around that attack our minds all the time. The devil comes up and says, the reason they're moving is because they think you crazy. But you see, the Word of God says that tongues are a sign for the unbeliever. So why aren't we using them with the I've heard tongues in here ever since I've been here. And that's great. But out there is where the power needs to be to bring them in here to get discipled. Did you hear what I said? I'm going to give you a good example of how it works for you. Is it all right with you? Is this encouraging or not? I say I'm being encouraged just talking about it. Hallelujah. I went in Kmart. See what the deal is. Up here, everything's in rows. And there's air conditioners. And when you come out of those foreign countries after being down there for 6 months to a year or whatever, you come out, your mind literally forgets what it's like to walk in these real nice department stores. And so I was walking in there with my wife, and it was our first, we'd been in the field for a while, and I come out, and I just said, let's go to Kmart. And let's just look and see what's going on since we've been gone. There might be something on sale we can pick up. And so I said, first we're going to the sporting goods store, part of Kmart. She said, no, we're going to cosmetics first. I said, not so. We're going down here to sporting goods. She said, no, we're going to cosmetics. So I submitted and went with her. But like I told you, let me just tell you, this is serious to me. That lady, to me, is the most beautiful woman in the world. And I, next to Jesus, she's the limit. And I love this lady. And I don't appreciate it when other people admire her. Because you don't have that problem in the countries I work in. So I walked in Kmart. We was over here at the cosmetics, the toiletries thing, you know, over there. And my wife walking over there, and she's just looking at all this stuff. And I noticed that we were being followed by six individuals, all males, about 17 or 18 years old. And my wife and my secretaries were all in here, and they were not following after me, I promise you. They were following them, and that, look, I'm a normal guy, do you hear me? That made me mad. My hair bristled on my neck, because I come from Redneckville, do you understand? And I'm sitting here thinking, let me get me some Alberto VO5, and I'll just shove it right down their throat, and the Holy Ghost... And the Holy Ghost spoke to me. You know, I love to... Can you tell I like to preach? And I like for people to be excited and happy about Jesus when I preach. Because I can get more into you if you're that way. And so I was fixing to feed them some Alberto VO5, and the Holy Ghost spoke up. And the Holy Ghost spoke up and said, speak in tongues at them. I said, I don't want to. It's not that I'm ashamed to. It's I wanted to feed him some Alberto VO5. But the Holy Ghost said, no. Speak in tongues at them boys. So I squared off at them, you know, and give them that old redneck look. And I just started speaking in tongues loud. And those, I'm talking, it was six of them now. They turned and ran all the way over to the front door. And I was still watching them, see? And they said, the one guy said, sudden, reckon what he said. Another guy says, I don't know. And they took off running out of the parking lot, and I was just kept watching them out the door, and they just kept running. So do you see how useful the Holy Ghost is? See, so whenever your flesh starts rising up, just submit that thing to God. And submit it to a God that cannot lie. And you will win and be victorious in Jesus' name. Isn't that exciting? Yeah. Have you noticed I've been telling you all these stories from America? You know why? Because people think that it happens easier in the mission field than it happens in America. And I don't hold to that saying. Because God is not limited to latitude and longitudinal lines. God is a free God. He isn't bound to your knowledge of it's below the Rio Grande, it's easy. Up here, it's hard. It's easy anywhere, buddy. Whenever the Spirit of God is loosed, God is King of this earth. The Lord Jesus is King. And right here, look, Matthew chapter 10, verse 7. I want you to know something. I'm fixing to get real serious on you. It says, as you do what? Does it say as you sit and twiddle your thumbs? Do you know that Jesus is not a sit-down God? That Jesus is a go-get-em son God? That's what Jesus is. In this book here, he told them one time to tarry till the Holy Ghost comes. And everybody uses that for an excuse to wait till they're 99 years old before they ever do anything for God. But let me tell you something. If you've got the faith, Jesus is a go-God. He wants to go now. As you go, what are you going to do? You know, there's commas after all this stuff. That means there's a continuing thought here. And I'm going to only go take a couple of verses here because I really want to show you the dynamics of doing a simple thing on a day-by-day basis and it working daily. Down in Mexico, I go to, and in Guatemala and in Bolivia, I go and preach the gospel every day. I take two days off every 2 weeks. And that's to spend with my family. But other than that, I'm preaching every night, and most of the time now, I'm preaching in the daytime too. Now look, it says. It says, as you go, it don't say as you sit. As you go, you're going to do something. And people say to me, well, Brother David, I really do want to do something for God. Well, go do it. You don't have to go to Bolivia. You don't have to go to Mexico. Man, there's enough work right here. I could bring my troops up here and give you a mega church if you wanted it. The way we work is daily. You go. And if what you going to do when you get to wherever you're going? All right, you're getting it. Some of you are getting it. What are you going to tell them? Well, Brother David, I don't know what to say. Well, I didn't know what to say when I got there either. But Jesus even gives us what to say here. How much more simple can it get for us?
Man, he said, go. Okay, I'm going to go, Jesus. What do you want me to do when I go? Preach. All right, what am I going to say? All right, what are you going to say? What is the next phrase? You tell them the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's all you have to tell them. I'm telling you, there's people out there hurting, saints. And all they want is you to have the boldness enough to stand up for your God you love so much and look them in the eye and say, the kingdom of heaven's at hand. You know what they'll say? I didn't know that. What does that mean? And then, of course, you can just go ahead and begin to relate Jesus to them. Jesus to them. That's how simple it is. You know what? I have found out that it's the easiest thing in the world. I was walking in Bolivia the other day. Had a backpack on. A couple of the missionaries were there. And we was hiking through the Amazon basin. Boy, that really strikes glory in some people's heart. You go to the Amazon basin. Hey, there ain't no glory there. There's mountains and mosquitoes, boy. I'm telling you. But there's also people that haven't heard about Jesus. That's who I like to go to. So I walk up, I'm walking down the road, and everybody we meet when we're on these kind of hiking expeditions, everybody gets witness to about Jesus. Nobody gets away. Because you never know who you're talking to in the Spirit. So everybody has to be talked to about Jesus. This one man, now watch this. We come up there, I want to show you just how scripture we were, okay? Well, just follow this little example here. It says, as you go, we were going, right? And we were preaching. Everybody we run into, we was telling them, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And this man says, I don't believe you. I said, man, you got to understand, Jesus loves you. He said, I don't believe that. I said, hey, mister, Jesus died for you, and Jesus rose the third day so that you could have life and have it in abundance. He said, I don't believe that. I'm a good man. There's nobody ever died for me. I said, what's this? What is the next phrase? I'm preaching out of King James now. In some different translations, they're different. But in King James, the next thing on the list is a comment that says, heal the sick. Do you see that? So instead of thinking, oh my God, he won over me, I'm going to have to let this one go, what do? You say, hey, mister, is there any sick people in this village you know about? He said, well, sure there are. Well, bring me one. What flavor? It don't matter. It don't matter what kind of sickness, if you believe there's a God that cannot lie on this earth. It don't matter the name of it or what it can do to our bodies. It matters that the Word of God is quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It matters that you're doing what Jesus said, being obedient to the Word and going and preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's what matters. And now you're getting ready to heal the sick. And this man says, okay, come with me. So I went with him. And there was this little boy that was on a petate. It's a little mat they weave out of palm leaves. And they brought him out there, and he'd been sick for several weeks. It looked like malaria, I guess. He had bad fever and throwing up and diarrhea and all that stuff. It was rough. Knelt down there beside him. Real simple, right? So far we're scriptural, aren't we? So you lay your hands on his head, little forehead like this. In Jesus' name, I rebuke the devourer, and I thank God this boy is healed according to the stripes and blood of the Lord Jesus. And when you stand up like this, the little boy stands up with you. And he's instantly healed by the Holy Ghost in the Word of God. And then you turn to the man and he says, what must I do to be saved? He gets on his knee. That's the gospel I preach, saints.
Hallelujah.
That's the gospel that works. But you see, you got to quit looking for theories and quit looking for equations and make sure you got the Holy Ghost with you. Make sure that you have prayed and sought the Lord and fasted and have meditated upon the Word of God and that you believe in your heart that God cannot lie. And then you go do it and it'll work. It'll work for you. What's this? Every time. Do you believe that Jesus healed all that came to him that were sick? That were oppressed of the devil? Right. I believe that too. So even though I am not 100%, in every healing area, there are a couple of them, and I'm going to tell you about a couple of them right now. Do you know, there's an area called snake biting. Up here, you don't have a whole lot of that. But down in Mexico and the other countries where the jungle is, there's lots of venomous snakes, viper type, and they call them mahuaquitis. They're a cuatro nariz. It's a four-nosed snake that's very dangerous. It attacks your nervous system, and it attacks the bloodstream at the same time.
a dangerous snake. And people get bit by them all the time, don't they, Brother Vaughn? And we go in there, and I have never seen a snake bite victim that we pray for that has not been healed. Now, I want you to get this. It says, what am I going to do? As I go, what am I going to do?
Preach.
More of you is getting it. Hallelujah. As you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven's at hand. The next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to heal the sick. I have to leave to go to service. Brother Ted can verify this. We have to leave 2 or 3 hours ahead of time to go because of the people that stop us on the trail to go and pray for the sick. So one day I was going, and I was going along that same village where they attacked us with those machetes that night, Otlaxitla. I was going to another place called Candelaria, and I was going there to do what?
Yeah, right.
We're coming, yeah. I was going to preach. And alongside the road, there was this man standing there with panic in his eyes. And I stopped, what do you need, man? Come quick, my brother's been bitten by my wakiti. And I said, oh my goodness, put my parking brake on, that truck sitting there in the road. Of course, now there's not any traffic on these roads, you have to understand. We're so far back up in the bush that nobody but us goes up and down the road. And so I run down into the valley where the village was, and I ran into this hut, and I ran there, went through the door, and there was that man laying there, and he was hurting, groaning, and everything, raised his witch's leg up, and there was these two trickles of blood down his calf. And I asked him what happened, he told me and all that, laid my hands on it. Now, let me just tell you what'll work, and it'll work every time. You lay your hands on him, and you say, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you that this venom that's been put in this man's bloodstream, in Jesus' name, it's going to become an asset to this man's body. Then you get up and you leave. You're going to do what? Yeah, right, we're coming. Preach, and you tell them the kingdom of heaven's at hand, you can heal the sick. So I went and preached, came back, and I got we get these big four-wheel drives, they're real nice. They got these 40-inch gumbo motors on them, and all that stuff. And they rigged out with these winches and junk, and got these roll bars and these big KC lights, you know, I'm kind of seeing in the movies every now and then. And God gives us good equipment because He loves us. And so we're going down through there, and I got all these KC lights turned on to keep my eye out for the communists because they don't like you. And they like to attack you at night because they're yellow bellies. I'm telling you the truth. They won't attack you in the daytime where you can see their face. They just like Ku Klux Klan devils. They hide their face from you. And so, there may not be much of it up here, but where I come from, there's a bunch of that junk. And so, we're going along the road, and I noticed in a curve, there's this man standing in the road dancing. And I'm a real curious type person, so I got in a hurry. From the four drive, I got back around the mountain. He's still there. So I got around the mountain, got back to him, and I said, he flagged me down. I said, what in the world are you doing, sir? He said, Brother Dave, he said, I'm the guy that the snake bit. So I got out of my truck, started dancing with him. Hallelujah. Jesus. Jesus. It's Jesus that did it. It's doing it scriptural. It's not being afraid of their faces. It's not being afraid of the words they have. Not being afraid of what some man or some woman is going to call you some little name and hurt your little feelings. That don't count. You're dead, remember? We're supposed to be, aren't we? And alive to Jesus. And now, all right, this is another event. I'm going, and what am I going to do when I get to where I'm going?
Preach.
All right. I'm going to preach. And along the road, I meet this little Indian woman. She's flagging me down, just like every day. And she says, Brother Hogan, you got to pray for my son. He got a broken arm. Now, I don't know about you, but the instant somebody says a broken bone, all you got to do is rush them to the clinic, throw a little plaster on there and set that thing, and it's over. About six weeks, right? And it heals up, and there's no, just cut it off, and after a few days, it's all right. And I told her, I said, let's just take him to the clinic. You know, that was a dumb thing because it was in the jungle, and there aren't any clinics in the jungle. So that little old, God used that little old Indian woman to rebuke me, and I'm so glad He did that. She said, Brother David, don't you think if my God can make my son, He can heal my son's bones? I said, yes, ma'am, I think so. Hallelujah. So she ran, got him, and brought him out there. I pulled his arm around straight, laid my hands on little bitty old guy. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, that you're going to heal this arm because you love us and because we're scriptural in Jesus' name. So I turned to my truck, and I went and preached. And the next day, Out at the same village. That was a Saturday night. And a Sunday morning, Sunday night, I go out to this village called Flamaya. And I'm out there. And there's this little old Indian woman standing there just crying and doing this. She's just crying. And my wife and I and my kids were up watching it. And I'm sitting there, you know, I said, I reckon what's the matter with that woman? And my wife said, well, I have no idea, David. I said, well, I can't stand it. I jumped up, I run over there. What? Why are you crying, woman? She said, well, Brother David, don't you remember my son? I said, what about him? I don't remember nothing about your son. She said, well, I'm the one that was standing in the road yesterday, had my son with a broke arm. I said, oh, yeah. How is he? He was healed just as soon as he drove off. I said, really? Which one is he? She showed him to me. I picked him up by the arm that was broke yesterday. And I wiggled him up and down like that. God healed him. Isn't it good to serve a good God? That if you'll get scriptural, you can see the glory of Jesus. That if you'll submit to God, you can be free like me. I'm free indeed. Did you hear what I said? I love the Lord Jesus so much. And I'm so thankful that y'all let me come and tell you that I love Jesus. And that there is a God in heaven, and he's still on the throne, and that these things that go wrong, for instance, for you ladies, I pray for a lot of women that have problems with their female organs and ovaries and things like that, and all kinds of problems that hurt. You know, and so this one woman, she came. See, we was on our way to do what? Yeah, come on with it. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. We was on our way to preach, and this man that was a communist leader that had beat my people, that had put my pastors in jail dozens of times, his wife had given birth to a baby. And when the baby was born, her uterus wall burst. And it went into her organs inside. And they all got infected. And so the man, this communist guy that hates us so much, he, of course, took her out of the jungle and rushed her to the hospital. And they just told him, take her home. She's dead. You know, because he got her there too late. There's a certain operation you can do if you do it immediately. I can't. Some of you people that are nurses or whatever, you understand what I'm saying. It's got to be done immediately, or it can't be, the operation can't go forth. And so the doctor says, take her on home. So he, of course, is rejected. And so he took her home, got back to the house, and he's sitting there twiddling his thumbs, watching his wife die. Hates God, right? Hadn't got any hope. But all of a sudden, this little thought, listen to this, this little thought come to his mind. What if those boys are right? Yeah. I'm talking about a communist leader. Did you hear me? What if those boys are right and I'm wrong? Because he's sitting here watching his wife die. His baby cannot breastfeed because, you know, of the infection in the body. And another woman is having to breastfeed his baby, and it's just a big old mess. So you know what he did? He walked with his shoulders back and his head upright, and he walked right to the people, the men of God that he's been throwing in jail. He said, I need your Jesus. And so the man of God said, let's go. And he walked over there, and the man got saved, the woman got saved. They prayed for her. They brought me to her. I prayed for her. And guess what God had the nerve to do? I'm talking about an impossible situation, but it's impossible for my God to lie. Did you hear what I just said? We laid hands on that woman, and not only did God heal, get rid of all the infection, he completely gave her a new womb, and she's had a baby since. Hallelujah! I'm talking about a God that cannot lie. I'm talking about a God that cannot lie. Jesus is King. Burst his uterus walls on. Jesus is. I'm talking about, I'm going to move off of healing in just a minute because I want to get to the dead raising because I know you're interested in that. It's in the list here. And I got to hurry, haven't I? So, well, you don't want to overdo this thing the first time, you know what I'm saying? Oh, I'm so glad that you love Jesus. It makes it easy to preach. Because the God I serve is real. I'm telling you, there's a real devil, but there's a real God. There's a real war, but there's a real winner. And that's Jesus and me. Hallelujah. I went to a village,
Cochicamen. Went to that village. First time the gospel was ever preached there. We had a three-day campaign. We got these films on the life of Christ where, you know, it shows Jesus all the way from infant all the way up to manhood, getting killed. And it's the book of Luke. That the Genesis Project out of Washington, D.C. had put together, and it's excellent. And we got our hands on it, and we weren't using it. It's good. Then we was using it, and this woman was watching. The last night of the campaign, there were 80 people got saved. There's just something about it, saints. I don't have the words, I don't think you do either, to explain to you what it feels like to preach to somebody for the first time in an area that Jesus loves you. The first time those words, since creation, they've been said in that area. There's just something about it that just drives me. I just love to go places. It's hard, yes. It's dangerous, yes. But it sure is fun. Because there's so many miracles. And this grandma, she walked up to me after it all was over, and she says, "I've been watching you, Brother Hogan." She said, "I think I want your God." I said, "That's good." I said, "What do you need out of my God?" She said, "Well, I got a grandbaby that needs healing." I said, "No problem." I said, "If God cannot heal your grandbaby, I just as well to burn this book and serve the devil." And she said, "Okay, I'll take that." And so I'm sitting there, and I said, "What's wrong with her?" She said, "Well, she's 4 years old." I said, "Okay." "She's had diarrhea for 4 years, ever since she was born. She never has eaten a solid meal yet. She's had a high fever for 4 years. I said, "What else?" She said, "Well, she was beginning to tell me something." She said, and she's got, and I said, "It don't matter what else she's got." But you see, saints, it's sometimes good to shut people up. Because if I had known what else she had, I imagine fear would have tried to get my heart. I'm serious. But it doesn't make any difference. See, that was before. Now I know. I don't care what it's called now. You see, she was born without something. This little girl was. So me and Grandma and I got down on the dirt floor there, the ground, and I led her to Jesus. And I stood up and I laid hands on her. I showed her in the Bible where it says to lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And Grandma says, "That's fine with me." So I laid hands on her, right on the top of her head, so that if you lay hands on women anywhere else there, you lose your hand. I'm serious. I am serious. And you lay hands on them in Jesus' name, and you command the devil of hell to loose this baby by the blood of Jesus, and thank God that this baby is going to serve Jesus. Are you ready? Grandma walks home. I load my junk in the truck, and I go to the house. Well, I went back 2 weeks later to find out what God did. God had the nerve, saints, that when Grandma walked in the door, the baby girl says, "Abuelita, por favor, que me das tortillas y frijoles." Which means, "Would you please give me some beans and tortillas, Grandma?" In other words, she was healed. Okay? First time, Grandma, of course, run quick, got her some beans and tortillas, come back and fed them to her. And the diarrhea was gone. The fever was gone. And look, 3 days after that, are you ready? This is good. One day, I wish I knew how to build it up for you. 2 days, 3 days. The third morning, now get this, the little girl stands up for the first time in her life. Because she was born with legs, but she was born without bones in both of them from the waist down. And God created in that little girl bones, kneecaps, heels, toes. Hallelujah. I'm talking about a God that cannot lie. I'm talking about a word of the Lord that is quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And I'm telling you, born without something is not king. Jesus is, and he'll give. We've had people been given several new hearts. We've had new lungs given. We've had new livers given. You name it in the body, cataracts fly away, eyes open up because of Jesus. Because of Jesus, if you'll just simply obey the word of God. Now, there was this woman who had cancer for 15 years. And she heard about this little baby that got these bones in her leg. And she said, because she knew about it, see, because she was from that village. And she said, "Do you reckon that it's really real?" So she sent her little grandson to go and ask him, "Is it really real?" So the grandma
grabs up the 4-year-old and brings her over there and said, look for yourself. So she fell to those bones just like I did. You ought to see me feeling those bones. And so we're going along there, and the pastor, they ran quick and got the pastor, and he comes over, and the woman, like I said, she's laying on the cot, almost dead. And she's had cancer for 15, and she's almost got her now. It's just that last stage. I mean, where no hope. Oh, my God. Just pain and death. Unless there's a God that cannot lie around. Unless the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper. Unless Jesus is King and cancer isn't. And so this woman, she told that man of God, she said, what must I do? He said, you must believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. He said, and I tell you this, see, I train all my... And I train them that if, to say this, that if the Bible don't work, we'll just burn it and serve the devil. So he told that lady, if God can't heal you of cancer, we'll just go ahead and burn the Bible and serve the devil. And she said, well, I think I can be healed. He said, I think so too. And he reached over and touched her on the top of the head and said, be healed by the blood and stripes of Jesus Christ. And saints, the lady leaped up, instantly healed by the blood of Jesus. And she's got all kinds of healthy meat on her bones even today. It happened a couple years ago. And she is still healed. Thank you, Jesus. I was amazed. Still am. Every time I see the power of God, I'm just simply amazed. Now then, let's step on to the next thing real quick. It says right here. It says, as you go, what we're going to do? Yeah. Oh, I'm talking about that was almost 100%. Thank you. I'm getting into you. Hallelujah. That's what I want to do. Don't you understand? That's my job. To pour this word into you so that the oil and the wine of the Holy Ghost can do its job. You understand? And so you'll never be the same again in Jesus' name. It says, after you go, you're going to preach, and you're going to tell them the kingdom has at hand, you're going to heal the sick, and in the King James it says, cleanse the leper. Now then, there's not very many, there might be a few of you in here that have seen lepers. But not because everybody here in America, everything's so neat and tidy, everybody gets thrown in a therapy center somewhere. So nobody can see them. So they won't feel bad, oh yes, there's a leper here. Well, I disagree with that. I think that the men and women of God should stand up for Jesus and cleanse lepers like Jesus did. I went to a service one night. What was I going to do there? Yeah. Oh, hallelujah. And you know what? There was a leper there. And he didn't have a nose. And he didn't have fingers on his hand. He didn't have any ears. Because, you see, leprosy is a devil. And it devours. And it destroys people. That's how come I know it's a devil. Because the thief comes for three things. He kills, steal, destroy. So things that come against us to kill us, to steal from us, or to destroy us, is from the devil. It's just that simple. It is not any harder than that. That's how you can discern things. It's that simple. That makes you super spiritual all of a sudden. And so I see this leprosy is devouring this young man. He's about 18, 19 years old. And I go over there, and I lay hands on him in Jesus' name, and I don't know the difference in cleansing and healing, but it doesn't matter to me. Just do what it says. Cleanse lepers. So you say leprosy, be cleansed in Jesus' name. And guess what God has the nerve enough to do? He cleanses them. I'm serious. So I went back 2 weeks later, and I walk up, and there's this young man sitting there that I'm telling you is a handsome young man. I didn't know him. I thought he was a new convert. He didn't have skin like the normal Indian skin. It's more tight. They have a harder life, and this was not normal Indian skin here. I've been around Indians for years, and I lived with them all the time, and this guy didn't look normal to be an Indian. And I was amazed at his skin, the coloration of it, and it was so perfect. And I went real quick. Like I said, I'm inquisitive. And I asked, Pastor, what is this guy doing here? Who is he? Has he just got born again? And he said, no. He said, Brother Hogan, guess who he is? I said to him. He said, Brother Hogan, that's the guy that had leprosy last time you were here. I said, no. I walked over there, and I'm talking about God did not only cleanse this guy of leprosy. Guess what God had the nerve to do? He made him whole. I grabbed a hold of a brand new nose. I got a hold of it. I got that hand pulled up there, because last time I looked at that guy, there wasn't any fingers on it. And this time, there's some brand new ones on there. And I felt with every one of them by themselves. And I got a hold of those earlobes. And I said, oh, my, what a God that came by. What a God that came by. What a word of God that's quick
much, and it's powerful. And I will not submit to any devil that I've seen too much now. In Jesus' name. I'll not compromise the Word of God. The Word of God is powerful. And it starts. And it wins. Because of Jesus. Because of the precious blood of Jesus. Now then, the next one in the King James, guess what it is? Whoops. No, King James is raised the dead. The reason I preach the King James is because I have had my Bible verified before by pastors. You know what I mean by the dead? I'm talking about some guys, you got to preach out of King James, you're not born again. But it doesn't matter to me. Because I got born again by the blood of Jesus, not my book. Hallelujah. So anyway, get off of that and on to this. It says, as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. All right, now listen. There's been 60-something people that's been raised from the dead. I'm not going to take the rest of the night and tell you about all of them. But I want to tell you about the first time that I got to see it. You are fixing to get excited. Because I'm excited about it. And this story, no one can take away from me. Because I saw it. Did you hear what I said? I spent 3.5 years of my life seeking God to raise the dead. I went to God every day for hours. Because I wanted to see what Jesus did. I've seen cancers healed. I've seen lepers healed. But these people were alive. I've seen all kinds of things. And I said, God, I'm going to see a dead person brought back to life. Thank you, sir, in Jesus' name. Every day for 3.5 years. Every day, much fasting, much prayer, much meditation on the Word in the Old Testament and in the New. It's in both. It's in both. Some of these things are not in both, but that is in both. And if it's okay in the old and the new, it must be okay with God to do. Hallelujah. I'm serious. You better take note of that. So, listen. It says, as you go, what? Oh, thank you, Jesus. I was going to preach. I went to this village, and out there in this village, there was this man, and he said to me, Brother Hogan, would you please come pray for my son? I said, nope. Now, you know, I've been teaching here for an hour, or about 50 minutes right now, on this is supposed to heal the sick, right? And why didn't I go and heal the sick? Because you got to have order. Without order, there's chaos, and chaos is not from God. There's got to be order. And you know, it's not me that heals the sick. Did you know that? The Bible says that God sent His Word, and His Word heals us of our disease. It's the Word of God. So I have to produce the word principle. Well, that's not a word in English. What do you say? How is it the principle? It's got to be the principle thing. Is that the right word? Oh, thank you. So see, Spanish was kind of slip out. And believe it or not, my Spanish is better than my English now. Isn't that good? So that's really good for a missionary that wants to conquer language where it's going. That's a blessing. So anyway, the principal thing is to preach the word. Okay? So I told him, I said, I'm going to go preach the word first, and then after that, because see, if I went with him, I'd have to go house to house and preach, and I wouldn't get to preach. And not that I've got preachers it, I've got the word it. It's the word of God that does the work. It's the Spirit of God that flows through the preaching of the word that does the work. And so we went, preached, and after service, put my Coleman lantern away, you know, there's not any nice electricity like this, you know. And so, and there's not any nice air conditioner either. You know, either. But you don't have to wear a suit, so it's not as hot. And so this man says, Brother Hogan, you're not going to go pray for my son? I said, sure. I forgot. I apologize. And so I was going to pastor, and the man of the house took off running. And thanks, the next thing that happened to me in my life, whenever I saw this, it was not a humorous thing. It was very serious. And I became afraid. Because when I didn't go pray for this little boy, he died. I get up to the house, and the mother is just weeping, uncontrollable, sobbing. If any of y'all lost any loved ones, you understand what I'm trying to say here. I'm talking about uncontrollable sobs. And so, whenever I walk up, all right, you got to understand, I've been on mission field for several years, and I'm considered, you know, a stable missionary. You know, there's a lot of unstable ones. But I'll consider the stable missionary that does a pretty good job. But I'll keep going in the face of whatever kind of adversity. Just keep marching it on out. You understand? And so I'm sitting there, and I'm hearing that woman screaming, and I'm not liking what I'm feeling. I'm feeling that this boy's dead. And the daddy walks out. Now, the customs are eye for an eye, teeth for a tooth. So the daddy walks out. He points his finger in my face, and he says, "You got to do something. My boy's dead." Well, I don't know about you, but I haven't been taught how to raise the dead. So I didn't know that I'm supposed to be calm and cool and collected. Walk in here, lay hands on this guy, he's going to jump up like a springboard. So I didn't know that. I didn't know any of that stuff. I didn't know what to do. Okay? I know how to lead people to Jesus. I know how to get them filled with the Holy Ghost. I know how to get them healed. You know, lots of different things, cast out devils. But raising the dead, not very many people talk about, because they don't believe it happens anymore. And not only that, they don't believe that nobody can do it. And so, and nobody can. Jesus is the only one that can. And so I walked in there, and boy, oh boy, oh boy, it was just like I'd anticipated. The boy had been dead for about 3.5 hours, and he was still, he was whiter than I am, and he was sticky, and the mama was just a mess. And I did not want to be there. That's when you should have been there, and not me. And so she backed up in the corner of that little hut, little hoots they call them, and she was just weeping and everything, and sobbing little tears now. And I promise you, I can't stand up here. I will not lie to you. Got no reason to. I did not have a word of the Lord to do it. I did not have an angel tap me on the shoulder. I didn't see any lightning or hear any thunder. All I have is the word of God that says the things that Jesus said. I can do more of them. And now it's time for me to prove whether I believe the Bible or not. Even though it was real rough, I didn't know what to do. It was not very organized, or whatever you call it. I went over there and I knelt down. I put my left hand on his forehead. And my right hand, I looked for revival signs. There weren't any. I bent my face down to this, you know, half dead is better than dead. You know that? No, I mean, think about it. That's our mind, see, talking. But there wasn't anything. And so what you do, it's real easy. If you believe God again. You lay your hands on him in Jesus' name, and you grab him by the right wrist. I did. Right wrist. Right here. And I was holding on that wrist. I was saying, "God in heaven, I need help." I said, "I don't know what to do. I don't know the right words to say. But if I've got any of the life of God in me at all, you've got to produce it now in this kid. In the name of Jesus." And I went to praying in tongues, and I went to praying in Indian, because I speak a couple of Indian dialects. And I went to praying in Spanish. Then I went back to England. You know, I was searching for anything that would work. And so, you know, because it doesn't make any difference to God, you know, just as long as you got faith to let it go, it'll go. And I'll, listen to me. The next thing that happened. Listen to me. Look, I'm sitting here. I'm a very excitable guy. And I'm sitting here, and I'm in a bind. So, you know, this guy's dead. It's my fault. So they didn't come pray for it. You understand? All right? And all of a sudden, the little boy's heart hit his teacher so hard, he jumped. And my eyes got big. And I said, "It worked. Look at this. It really worked." And all of a sudden, that heart started beating. I was looking at the daddy, and his, he saw that little heart beat also. And me and him both got eyes this big. And all of a sudden, his heart starts pounding. And I can see it over here in his right arm. And it's just going like this. And I said, my goodness, it's working. Look at this. It really worked. And all of a sudden, the boy's skin became warm again. And he got the right color to it. And he opened his eyes and looked at me. And I was about ready to jump through the roof, I think. Because God heard my prayer. After 3.5 years, I got to see with my very own eyes that the God in heaven that controls this universe still, in the modern day, raises the dead. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Ever since then, it started happening more and more until now it happens at least once every week. I mean, the stories are incredible. Little boy still in the ditch. He was 4 years old, burst his head wide open, brain spilled out. They picked him up, bring him in the church on the bamboo bench, and laid him out there. And went and got the uncle who is the pastor, and he got the men of the church together, and they said, Brother Hogan says that if we will praise God, that God inhabits the praise of his people. So they begin to worship God. The 1 hour, 2 hours, three. At the end of 4 hours, the little boy sits up. His head is completely healed. And he looks at his daddy and says, Daddy, I'm hungry. That's the God I serve. I'm talking about a real God. You listen to me. I'm talking about a real God. I don't care what these humanistic people say. God is alive, and I love him. And he's more real than this pulpit is right here. Because this junk burns. He never will. He never will. He's a real God. He's a real God. And he's alive. And guess what he does? He fills us with his power. Isn't that funny how he'll love you? Man, I was the bottom of the barrel. Don't you understand what I was? So with you, don't look at me like that. Without Jesus, we're all the bottom of the barrel. Listen, the other day they threw me over here to Atlanta. And it was my first time to ever be in a multi-millionaire's home. I'm talking about there's seven of them in the home, and all of them driving Mercedes Benz. And you walk down the hall, and the carpet's so deep, it busts your boots. I've never seen anything like it. And you know what? I never did know why they wanted me there until that afternoon. And that lady says, Brother Hogan, the reason we wanted you here is because we want to know how you got what you got. I said, is that so? I said, lady, all the money you got is inside what I've got. I said, but with what I've got, I can get the old man. Hallelujah! I'm serious. I'm serious. And she believed me. And it was just simple. I just began to tell her about the work of the Lord and how our work began and how so simple it is and how it just makes you feel good to hear about it. Don't it make you feel good to hear about it? It just somehow or another, it edifies you to hear about the works of the Lord. And the last thing on the list, and I'm going to say talk one thing only about casting out devils. I don't know which one to use. There's so many. I might take a few of them. There's just so many of them that get your mind all at one time. There's probably thousands of them. Did you hear me? There's thousands of people that are set free. You understand? They're not demons. See, my opinion of possession is probably different than yours. My opinion of possession is losing all of your faculties. That you have zero control of your body or your emotions or anything. I've seen it too much. That's possession to me. And you know what I just want to tell you something about this demon casting out business. You know, there's no sense in you up here in America, my wonderful America. I'm so proud of this country. You don't understand what you've got here. You have no way of knowing. I picked up a woman the other day that was a pastor 4 days in Guatemala, going to service with Brother Eddie, and she was on the side of the road in the dirt sleeping day and night. And I picked her up and I told her, you're going home with me because I can't stand you sitting in the dirt anymore. And she said, I'm not going with you anywhere. So I argued with her for an hour, and finally my secretary talked her into getting in the truck with her. And the story that this lady named Tanya has is incredible. It needs to be published here. They do away with some liberal humanistic devils. You hear me? I mean, this lady was in El Salvador. Now, this is going to be political. Don't get mad at me. And the Sandinista devils, you heard it. You know how I stand now, right? Colonel Arthur is a hero. Coba. Well, that's all the politicking I'm doing. That's it. But anyway, because I live there, you don't understand what these liberals are doing, Saint. They're lying through their teeth. Some communist has paid them some money to lie to you. Tanya, I picked her up, I took her home with me. And I asked her, what are you doing? You're a woman. You don't belong in the streets. You don't belong in the dirt. You're supposed to be honored by a male. God created men to honor women. And you're supposed to be honored
What's the matter? She said, well, the Sandinistas came. I'll watch them blow my kids' heads off. I'll watch them blow my mama and daddy's heads off. And they took my husband to fight and said that if he didn't fight, that they was going to do the same thing to her. So they took him off the war to make him fight against freedom. And you know what they did with her after he was gone? They slapped her in the top of the head. You ought to see the scar. Took the top of her head off with some kind of flapjack or something and left her for dead. And somehow or another, she ended up in Guatemala from El Salvador. She's a refugee. And she hates everybody. Sandinistas saved in Mexico. And the stories they tell, the terrorists in Guatemala that were getting born again now, the story of how and what they do to people to put fear in their hearts so they won't even fight for their own freedom. It's incredible. It's demonic. And right here, Jesus says, cast out devils. Well, probably Brother Eddie did. The little truck that y'all bought him, that truck. They all know that, right? I hope they do. Right. Y'all bought the truck for Brother Eddie. Hallelujah. I'm sure y'all know about it. It's a special type of vehicle that they like to have in war because it's so heavy duty and it's a diesel and all of that. That the communist terrorists were against our work already in Guatemala. They had already staked out Brother Eddie's house in the night. Listen, I just want to tell you about how God can let you cast down devils. The night that they were going to make the hit on Brother Eddie's house, they were going to kill him, Michelle, Jessica, Jonathan, and the new baby. The new baby wasn't there yet. She was still pregnant. They're going to kill the family and take the truck and the stuff and go to Honduras and slip over into the war zone. The Guatemalan CIA found out about it. And they happened to run into one of the terrorists in town, had a shootout, and killed one of the terrorists, and captured another one, and they tortured him, and he told them what they were going to do, and it was to destroy and kill Brother Eddie Edges. And if you're praying for a missionary, the prayers is what stopped that, nothing else. The prayers of the saints is what kept my friend Eddie alive. The prayers of the saints. Because God says, right here in the Word, if you'll go and preach, that you can cast out devils. I know of a 14-year-old girl, this is going to be it, we're closing. 14-year-old girl that was in Mexico City, and she was in this little old padded cell. She had had sex with animals, called bestiality. She had had all kinds of orgies at 14. She had used every kind of drug in every position that there is. Some I had never heard of before. I'm pretty streetwise. I hadn't heard of a lot of these drugs. And because she had done these things, was the reason she went to the streets was because her mother and daddy said they loved Jesus, but they were religious, and they hated Jesus in reality. It drove this young girl to the streets. Lots of the stuff that's happened to these young kids is not their fault. It's mama's and daddy's fault. I'll stand up for you, teenagers. Hallelujah. And so she got demon-possessed to where she was running through the streets of Mexico City, nude, and she would jump on people and eat them. Literally bite chunks of flesh off their body. So they tranquilized her, took her to the padded cell. What do you call them? A priest came with a cross and some rosary beads. She took the cross away and stabbed him with it and run him out the door. A little old barefooted Indian. You get this. A little old barefooted Indian with one pair of breeches to his name, and they got big old patches on him. Heard about it. It was on news and everything. He gets on a bus. This happens to be my main leader in Mexico. Gets on a bus, goes to Mexico City. Gets off the bus, walks into this big infirmary. Everything's spotless. He walks in there barefooted. Got his only pair of breeches on. Walks up to the head doctor and says, I come to cast the devil out of that girl. He didn't know he wasn't supposed to say that. And the doctor says, what are you going to do? He says, I'm not going to do anything. But Jesus is going to get rid of that devil. He said, have at it. He went and unlocked the door and let him in there. And that girl bowed up in the corner like an old wild animal, hair in every direction, nude, completely nude. And he just points his finger at him. I adjure you, Satan, by the powers of God,
Come out of her in Jesus' name. The girl is slammed upside the wall, knocked toes away. He walks over there and gets these little britches he brought with him. Gets this little shirt. He walks over there to her. Flips those clothes on that little girl. Picks her up. Gets her by the hand. Walks out with her completely delivered by the blood of Jesus. Took her home with him. I'm talking about a God that cannot lie here. And the power of God is there. If we would dare to challenge God to use it, He'll back it up. If our heart is pure, He'll back it up. He took her home. You know why He did that? Because I'm the leader of that work, and I'm taking in teenagers, and He thought it was the right thing to do, as Brother Davis did. See how you affect people without even knowing it? Isn't that a blessing? It's not a curse. Well, how do you feed all those people? How do you do anything? By faith? The daddy of the girl was an alcoholic. He saw what Jesus did for his daughter. He went over there and got down on his knees. And he asked the man of God, "What must I do to be saved?" He said, "You must accept Jesus Christ as your Lord. You must repent and be born again." So he led him to Jesus. Well, right after that, a few hours later, the daddy is an alcoholic. And I don't shove religion down anybody's throat. If the Holy Ghost can't do it, why should I try? Huh? All I do is present the gospel and let the Spirit of God do the work. And so this man, he went to a cantina with his friends, and they drank 8 beers. At the end of the 8th beer, he began to throw them back up. First time in his life. And all of a sudden, he started getting choked. And a yellow object came out of his mouth and landed in his hand. He threw it down on the floor, chopped it up, and threw it in the fire. He threw all the machetes down there. And he was completely delivered from alcohol from that second on. That's the God I serve. It's impossible for God to lie. I want to share one bit. I want to read one scripture verse. Will you turn over here with me to John? I'm going to read it, and then we're going to stand up and pray together, okay? In Jesus' name. Do you believe it's impossible for God to lie? Do you believe that the Word of God is quick and powerful? Do you believe it's sharper than any tool? Do you believe Jesus is King of this earth? My goodness, surely you believe Him by now. Or I can't speak another hour. John chapter 3. There's a verse I want you to see. Verse 16. It says in John chapter 3 and verse 16. It says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." And me giving my life to God doesn't matter, because He gave His only Son. Would you please stand up?